Do you know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying.
Do you know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying.
Sarah Jones is a Tony Award-winning playwright and performer. Her shows, like Bridge and Tunnel, feature casts of characters black and white and of other races, all played by Jones herself. So the nuances of language and voice are things that she thinks about all the time. Last year, when Jones was listening to Barack Obama out on the campaign trail talking about change, she noticed some changes in his actual speech. His voice was different depending on the audience.
But something's stirring across the country because of what happened in Selma, Alabama, because some folks are willing to march across a bridge.
And now that we have our first African-American president, a question occurred to Sarah. What exactly does it mean to sound black?
Just like Barack Obama, I am a person of mixed racial heritage. But I also identify and am clearly identifiable as African-American or black. That is, at least if you look at me. But what if you're listening to me as you are now? Do I sound black? Do I have a black scent?
That's the first time anyone has ever actually uttered that word outside of my own kitchen, although I'm always writing it. Thank you.
I love the
black
way it sounds.
Scent.
I'm going to spread it around if you don't mind.
Thank you.
That's John McWhorter. He's a linguist at Columbia University who happens to speak like 10 different languages, but he coined the term black scent.
Black scent is interesting because it's a very hazy concept in most people's minds, and so if you say that there's such a thing as black English, what most people think of immediately is teen hip-hop slang. The sad thing is that for many people, the black scent connotes lack of intelligence. And I think we know the historical reasons for that. And then on the other hand, there's an ambiguous relationship to it, because especially when the black scent comes from a slightly older person, it connotes a certain warmth.
There is a mysterious ritual that dates back thousands of years. No living creature has survived it, except the penguin.
And so now we've gotten to the point where Morgan Freeman, or that Morgan Freeman voice, is now considered a wonderful voice for a narrator in a movie or in a TV commercial. Also, the black female voice, as long as she's middle-aged, that kind of nice leathery sound, that's considered something that is warm and authoritative.
Well, I have a question. I'm just going to jump in and ask you.
I have a character who talk like this, okay? Now, when she start talking, you could hear that she have a little bit of North Carolina black, raspy, folksy, what you might call the thing that you were talking about that makes people feel good. And I would argue that you are absolutely right, you know, when you look back through history. The mammal, whatever that may be.
I'm thinking about fried chicken right now.
Well, see, there it is. A warm feeling. I didn't say you was, might clog up your arteries, but you feel warm on your way to the emergency room. That's what's important. But the point is that when I hear this here, and the you know that the TH is turned to D's with the tongue just behind the teeth that way, but she also, you know, also, she does have some things in common with the Southerner. And, you know, perhaps, perhaps is also, you know, sort of scooping out different kinds of vowels and doing all sorts of other sort of things, Southern things that are not what we would associate with black Southern speech.
The reason that there is a white Southern accent is because of slavery having been in the South. It's interesting. The boundaries of the white Southern accent are exactly where there was slavery. And you can see that in, for example, my skin color and yours, that there was this mingling of influence. And so white Southerners talk the way they do because of black people, ultimately, and that was in the past.
Uh-oh.
Now, to
we might want to warn some folks.
That one's going to get letters, but it's true. And then you try to talk about it, and you have people denying that they have black sense. In black sense, you have people saying, well, no.
Me, I don't talk like that. Whatever do you mean?
That's exactly what I mean.
Well, what is it you're saying?
I
wonder if the reason people may chafe, boy, is that the least
That's
black way
word.
To frame that? I know.
Forsooth.
If we're going, right, forsooth. you know, perhaps it's because they're worried about a disadvantage. Perhaps they've, you know, suffered from being that person who, you know, calls on the phone for a bank loan or whatever it is and feels like they are, you know, being perceived a certain way just because of how they sound.
Oh, yeah. And that happens. You know, there is research that shows that having a black scent can make you less likely to get an apartment. It can make you less likely to get a job. I don't think that I would have the little niche market place I have as a race commentator if I had a black scent. I think that my boring insurance salesman voice connotes, just because of my own vowels, a certain authority, even when I'm phoning it in.
Phoning it in. Well, that's actually where some of us get into a lot of trouble. Once during my college days, I was all but hired for a job over the phone on the strength of my resume and my voice. But when I turned up in person, well, there seems to have been a terrible misunderstanding. We are so sorry about this, but it seems that position is actually not available. Now I'm an actress, and I make my living doing other people's voices.
Yeah, my name is Rashid, and you know what I'm saying, my industry, the hip-hop industry, you know what I'm saying, you definitely can't be coming on sounding like an insurance salesman, you know what I'm saying? That's definitely not a good look. So it's like, I mean, that don't mean we're not intelligent, you know what I'm saying, just because we don't speak the standard English and whatnot. Well, I have to interrupt you, Rashid, because surprising as this is, I actually do know what you're saying, young man. This is Lorraine Levine, by the way. In my day, you had people like my mother, for example, who talked a certain way. She'd say things like, it's raining outside. For this, I went to the beauty parlor. So, you know, maybe this black English is a similar thing, except with the people from West Africa or something like that. Is that the idea?
Yes, Lorraine. It's the same thing. Lorraine is talking about Yiddishisms. And so, yeah, to the extent that we don't think of the way Lorraine talks or the way her mother talks as wrong, the way Rashid talks isn't wrong either. It's just a different grammar, not a lesser grammar.
So maybe the challenge is, how do we avoid placing value judgments on these differences? You know, growing up, I had relatives who spoke black English. Then I had others with kind of like a West Indian lilt, you know? And then others on my mother's side with sort of a Queens, salt-of-the-earth, white accent. And I talked a little differently with each of them. But later on, I learned that's just called code switching, which brings me back to Barack Obama.
And he met this woman whose great-great-great-great-grandfather had owned slaves. But she had a different idea. There's some good craziness going on because they looked at each other and they decided, we know that...
When he drops in that little flavor into his speeches, it drives people crazy. And not only black people, because let's face it, there aren't enough of us to turn an election. It's the white people. It's that value that it has. And when he says, yes, we can, imagine John Edwards saying that. You'd never believe it.
And so they got together and Barack Obama Jr. was born. So don't tell me I don't have a claim on Selma, Alabama. Don't tell me I'm not coming home when I come to Selma, Alabama.
So when I tell you I'm coming to do customer service and that change is coming, when I get on these phones and I start taking these calls, I'm bringing change. That doesn't move you as a potential employer?
It moves me in the gut. But like that story about Selma and how he was created because two people met there, that's so inspiring. But if somebody is going to be, you know, doing stock trading or something like that, you don't want to be touched in the gut. You start thinking about a different kind of thinking. And that's why the accent is often considered to sound dumb.
But what could be more dumb than what's been happening on Wall Street lately? Our brightest financial minds may not sound like 50 Cent, but that's about all they've left us in our 401ks. So maybe that's why Obama seems just as comfortable in that black scent that touches us in the gut.
The good thing about black English is we are at a point where it's also positive in many ways. I don't think that it's as much of a curse to have a black scent today as it used to be. First, in thinking of hip-hop as our main music, which is now the state of things, and that's fine, but also in the way people talk. I think that Americans talk more like black people every year.
On that note, I think I would just like to thank you. And I don't mind saying thank you, baby. You was a blessing today.
Well, thank you for having me. So nice to meet you.
Do you know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying.
Do you know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying.
Do you know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Man, I know what you're saying.
John McWhorter is the author of Our Magnificent Bastard Tongue, The Untold Story of English, which comes out in paperback later this month. He was talking with the writer and performer Sarah Jones.
You know what I'm saying.
You know what I'm saying?
Einstein,
he knows what I'm saying.
Know what I'm saying?